opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here and Analyze This. Heated, but it is electric.
It's right? Electric.
It's an electric conversation here with the governor. And Governor Mark, thank you very much. You know, when you come on the ratings, just take off. It is what it is. You're the governor. Right? So I want to be very honest about that. Right? A couple of things I wanted to say before you get back to, because you said you needed 2 minutes to really speak to some context. Right? I want the public to notice, right, that when I first ran, and I had to be a little sensitive to my situation. Back in 2004, that was a non-gubernatorial year. I was a beneficiary of public discontent with its elected officials at that time. That's when the LEAC thing really kicked in. That's why this is personal for me, right? And, you know, I, you know, set records, you know. First time candidate in a non-gubernatorial year, all this money, all these votes, I mean, and... matter of fact, for those of you who don't know, even when me and the governor may be warring within the last 20 years, you know, when I had a big event, my first year, first time I ran, you were there on the microphone, Ray Martinez, I know, it's a small world. Everything is cyclical, right? But here's the point, Governor. You and I know that we have an obligation to level with the public and be candid. And I use data as a basis for a lot of my arguments, because you really can't, the numbers don't lie. They may not tell the whole story, but they don't lie, right? Our biggest issue here in the Virgin Islands is our energy crisis. And it impacts everything, to include cost of living. Biggest. However, second biggest issue is healthcare, because we got an unfunded healthcare structure here where folks are uninsured, and the government of Virgin Islands provides that health care for them and has been doing that for a lot of years.
Locally and nationally.
And nationally, correct. It is not limited to the Virgin Islands. Yes. I agree. And
no. I want to make sure they understand what we're saying. Yes. We pay the bill locally and nationally.
Yes, correct. I was getting to that. In that context, you're absolutely correct. Because we got a lot of people who believe that they'll get better medical health care on the mainland. So they leave the territory.
Well, the emergency,
and we pay that bill. The emergency require that.
Yeah, you get shoot in your head,
and we can't provide that.
We fly you out.
Agree.
Our bill.
So is the real question, Governor, that we need to fix our structure here in the Virgin Islands?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I want to finish up, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you this, and I say it all the time. We have 33,000 tax filers. First of all, let's 33,000 tax filers. During COVID, when we were giving out the stimulus checks and all the things, it went to 41,000 tax filers.
Yeah.
So it moved from 33 to 41. So that's 8,000 people that weren't filing taxes and filed taxes to make sure they're going to get a stimulus check. Right? Funny, right? Out of those 33,000 filers, 89 people pay 66% of the income tax. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 100 people pays 2/3 of the income tax to the Virgin Islands. If you add another 3,000 people, it goes to 84. So what I'm saying is 30,000 people in the Virgin Islands only contribute 16% of the income taxes. What does that mean? The governor's greatest source of revenue are income taxes.
Correct.
And if we don't have people producing, making money, paying taxes, we don't have money to pave roads, fix schools, service a power plant, and do all the other things, the myriad of things the government does. And that's been the situation for years. When people say, oh, are you looking around and you remain the same? Don't forget, my fellow Virgin Islands, how resilient and strong you are. Not because we're here, we must forget the truth. We have rebuilt the entire power grid 3 times in 30 years. Think about that.
Well, define rebuilt.
Every pole line was destroyed in Hugo, destroyed again in Marilyn, and destroyed again in Maria. Every
in that context, correct.
Transformers, poles. So during that time, people say, oh, things ain't coming. We've undergrounded a lot. So we were a little better off in Irma Maria than we were in Maria, in Hugo.
Hugo and Maryland.
We've upgraded the building code, so now the roofs stay on. The roofs that blew off during that time, were in the last storm, was stuff that were built before 89. Right? That's the last of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a different kind of storm.
WAPA has now expanded the undergrounding to do almost 50%. 50% of them will be undergrounded.
Mm-hmm.
They've installed composite poles. They're almost 60% done.
But the cost to the rate payers, Governor. I want you to transition from Governor Bryan to Albert Bryan.
I'm going there.
Yeah.
Three substations they already repaired. They've installed the four generators in the up. We bought two new gas turbines. WAPA has still underground all the water in Frederickstead, all the water lines, Campo Rico. We down in White Lady, down there in Frederickstead, doing all of that at the same time. Been through a water crisis. In the last year and a half, almost every power grid has raised prices. In the last 5 years, WAPA has gone up a half a penny.
You're talking nationally, you're talking about that statement you just
said. In the Caribbean,
okay.
St. Lucia has raised their power bills 222% since the Ukraine war.
Mm-hmm. But the question is, why aren't we more efficient, given that, and your ODR director, a good friend, Adrian Williams,
right,
sat right there, like early in my analysis tenure, and you said, Neville, of the $8 billion, at the time, that was the number, right? 30%. Or thereabouts, $2.3 billion is energy related.
Absolutely.
Right? That was a number. I memorized that one there. Mm-hmm. Right? Sitting right there. And the efficiency and the cost to the ratepayers ain't equating to recovery. Why is that?
So, a couple of things I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I like low pack, but I like butter because it's a good price monitor. It sounds strange.
Some of us is canned beef, but
A pack of low pack butter used to be $1.35 mm-hmm. back in 2005. That thing is like $4 or $5 now. A pound of butter in the Virgin Islands.
We don't talk about that.
Dollars.
The greedflation, Governor.
Right.
It ain't just about the energy costs. They're killing us.
No, here they say what people want to tell.
And that's nationally too.
When you and I were struggling, when everybody were getting laid off in the bad days, when came out in handling lights, how much we were paying a kilowatt hour? 52 cents.
The highest number you're talking about?
Yes.
Our peak? Yes.
52 cents.
Yeah.
How much you paying now?
Yeah.
So Lopak butter triple, but it like be lower than it was then.
Like be lower. But the cost of commodities, when they go to the different supermarkets, they're up.
Of course, because oil is up. Mm-hmm. So when people come and...
But even when oil wasn't up, they were killing us.
It
was a big issue,
there
man.
There was a time, though...
Let me ask you this question. You managed the pandemic. Right? One of the things I've said is the Virgin Islands government, based on the data, can't refute it, right? Did an excellent job managing the pandemic, right? But Governor, man, oh gosh, man, they really mean to dig out our item, because the Virgin Islands, because our population is only 100,000 or thereabouts, financially we benefited from the pandemic. I'll be very honest, I mean, I'll call a spade a spade. That when that money came in, whether it be stimulus or CARES Act or whatever it be.
Oh God, don't we?
We benefit, and then people came here to get married. They come in groups of 12 because they couldn't go down island. So they had to come here. So we benefited from this thing, right? And the stores, one of the things the President Biden has complained about is, why are these corporations doing this to the consumers? And the same thing is happening here. Look, I love the businesses. I know they got to make money. But come on, man. Ain't fair.
It's not fair.
I'm serious. Ain't fair what they doing.
I mean, food.
And they have this out where they say WAPA. Nah, man.
No.
They got a lot of higher running generator.
No, the bill been the same.
Yeah, but and a lot of them running generator, man.
Commodities have risen worldwide. But,
yeah.
I mean, you can't say WAPA. WAPA is a good scapegoat. I used to meet up Hugo when he were there all the time. I'd be like, it's WAPA problem. But the fact remains that the light bill is lower now than it was in 2009.
A little bit later. Because remember in 9, right? And we had this discussion last week on the show. Remember in 8, Hugo had to petition the PSC for reduction, because remember the price of oil dropped from $150 a barrel down to the $30, $40 area, and then it went back up real quick.
In the John DeYoung administration, the light bill never went below 40 cents. I think maybe at the last.
No, it went down below that. I going to pull it
I
down.
Don't trust you because you...
I actually highlighted this.
But what I'm saying stories, is...
Yeah. On Friday, I did it on Friday. Yeah.
We didn't feel all of that because of the ARPA funds. And then, you know, Donna Fred Gregory got on yesterday and says states are claiming...
Senator Donna Fred Gregory.
Yeah. 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 I say states are calling in surpluses because of those ARPA funds, why we have a cash shortage. Senator... Remember, I went to you and you reprogrammed the $25 million and the $40 million that we pay back. Remember when we pay back the 8%? All them things was surplus, right? Remember?
Question. Neville asks, what is the status of the Charles Howard demolition? It had started demolition mid-23 and be completed at 23. No activity now.
I a little irritated about that. The lab in the back.
What's the deal?
Had to be moved. Before we do it, we have to have a certified lab built. So I think they're almost about done with that now, so they can move the lab because they don't want to do any more demolition with that structure on the property. So I think
So demolition still is in order?
This
is just a technical glitch or whatever?
Right, right. Okay. It's just something that they didn't, you know, account for. It's like they didn't think... We running into a lot of little snafu problems like that, but they can't close the lab because it's our only certified lab in the territory, so we have to relocate it. And I think we just about got that done. So it'll start demolition and stuff. But trust me, them guys from the demolition call me every day wanting to know when it's going
to
start.
I owe it to my audience to take at least a couple of calls. We got both lines, Anna. Just one. And by the way, Governor, it's at 9:30. I'm asking you for 9:40 when we take the break. Can we get you to 9:40?
Well, I think so.
Can we get Mr. Press Secretary? Can we get him to 9:38? Can we actually break that? 9:38. Okay, I appreciate.
We're all about compromise.
I appreciate that. Good morning, Carla. Welcome to Analyze This. Got a question or comment for the governor?
Yes, ma'am. I have a comment for the governor.
Question or comment? Yes, go right ahead.
Another question for the governor.
Yeah.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Neville.
Morning.
Mr. Governor, one concern. What's the issue with running a car race track on the Eleanor St. Thomas, man? We need a car race track on St. Thomas, Governor. Just like the good Neville say. That you're probably 6 furlong now with the race. So the politics over.
Mister,
we need a carriage track now upon the Eleanor St. Thomas.
My good brother.
What's the concern with that?
My good brother. Good morning and blessed love to you. If you could find me a piece of land, a quarter mile, with a little runoff for we to do it on, I can make it happen. But I've been looking.
Okay,
I can't find no property.
I have a suggestion, Governor.
Okay.
Hold on a second. You know you like to calm and show you to bring entertainment value, right? Give me a question, a priority question. I'm going to be honest with you. I love racing. I like horse racing. Car racing a priority now. Give me a priority question for the Governor. Priority.
Priority question for the Governor. Well Neville, may I have more?
I got you now, so I don't want to run you off. Ask the Governor a priority question.
We're going to something else.
Yeah.
Okay, let me answer the question about the land, because I want to find a stretch for the car race too, because I get a question a lot. My good friend, Dr. Gilbert Commission, is, you know, that's my boy, and he got to bring his car to St. Croix to run. So, you know, where are we going to find the land?
Well, Governor, may I have a suggestion for the land, you know, in Baca Price Mart. In Baca Price Mart in St. Thomas. Governor, we could easily trade off maybe property taxes or even government property for the strip back there.
Hartman.
Right there, over there, yes, in Hartman property back there. All we have to do is utilize the property back there, Governor.
I know you believe that. I don't know about carries, but I want a cruise pedro gun fan myself, right? It got too much undulations going on back there behind
that's a wetland.
So that ain't a good suggestion.
I gonna call them. They are a little vexed.
But Carla, before, I don't know if you were living here back in the day, but we used to got carries in Bovoni back in the day. All that stuff. So thanks for the call. Carla, and you know, you the Carly to talk politics down the road, so we good for that. We got another call on the line. Give thanks. We ain't got a call on the line yet. Okay, so Governor, you know me, right? Yeah. October 1, 2008, WAPA proposal would reduce average electric bill 18%. The HSO.
It happened.
Right? November 13, 2008, PSC approves 34% drop in LEAG rates. So I just want you to know. I ain't no talking, we got like to talk.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I used to live on that. But there is one thing I want to say, right? In concert with what you're saying, and I could say that I was saying this before Governor Albert Bryan. WAPA belonged to the people of the Virgin Islands.
Hello.
And I'm going to tell you, WAPA belong to we. We have an obligation to fix it and make it right. Now, I know there are those who believe it's a 60-plus year experiment that has gone bad. But I also want them to know, we aren't part of any national grid. When the power went out in New York in 2003, it wasn't because of New York City. Something went bad in Ohio. That's just the reality of these. So let me fix the problem here. We got all this brain power here. Let me fix this problem because it's hurting us here in the territory.
So I tell you, the good news is, and let me big up my president.
I got another question here.
Joseph Biden has given us a lot of resources to solve this. We got some short-term cash flow and problems, but we could see our way through them. We're going to get through this. And this is the first time I could say that we could solve it. We got four solar plants building right now.
Mm-hmm.
I show you the one on Grey Pond.
Yes.
Right? It was incredible. 16 megawatts. We got about three or four more coming on by the end of the year, but we got to get some things done in WAPA to be able to put that power on the grid.
Another question here from through the live streaming. What about the retirees retro? What's the status? We're here.
Well, we don't have any money. So, I mean, my priority right now is tax returns. We're sending out $10 million. That should be coming out this week.
Is
this week, Greg? It's Friday, Rich.
The obligation for tax returns in May 30th or April 30th?
No. We just send.
I'm talking about you pay so you don't accrue interest.
I think it's
on May 30th, right?
Yeah.
We file on the 15th.
That's right. Okay. That's correct. So we're going to be sending out some tax returns. Retirees, they ain't even retirees. It's people we owe retro pay. We try and work on that, but we got to pay the tax returns first. We filed way behind. We had a good tax day. Mm-hmm. We've counted everything yet, but it was better than last year.
And we're still collecting.
Yeah. So it's looking pretty good. But
for those of you who don't know, April, June, September, those are the three biggest months for tax collections historically in the government out of Virgin Islands.
So, and that's why we needed a little line of credit, but I ain't going back there. But the things are looking better, but you realize I have a priority to pay the tax returns first, and I have a priority to make sure that the government is funded first. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to get some money out to you because I know our people really need the cash. So I like to spend money in the public. People know we pay everybody when we can.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that the legislature refer to the ARPA funds. We still have ARPA funds, but we have projects that we're trying to get completed and the money that have been obligated that we keep actually using that money to subsidize WAPA and make sure that
we got to fix that problem.
Tired.
We have TYAD.
I
think you could add another A in there.
But imagine if we didn't do it, every Virgin Islanders would be paying $2,000 more.
Correct.
We
taking the final break. The governor has committed 9:38. So you got one more segment. Don't be afraid to send the questions like you've been doing it on the stream, our Facebook page, all that good stuff. We'll take a break. Governor's in the house, trying to balance taking my shots at him with agreeing with him and all that stuff. So we'll be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, Wait, We Give You a Chance to Impress Your Friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists? You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Coral reefs, they are one of the most endangered habitats on Earth when it comes to climate change. But help is on the way. I'm Dr. M. Sanja. Join us as we find ways to preserve our changing planet.
We have the building blocks to rebuild that reef.
To see science in action, absolutely amazing.
Tune in April 24th at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here. I analyze this. It's a hump day. The sun trying to work its way through the rain. All that stuff. I don't want the island going to be green. And Governor, green is the color of the conversation. It's green. About money.
It
right?
is.
Right? And so here's a thought that came to me. The big figure now as relates to recovery is, what, $14, $15 billion?
Yeah.
If we were to put a percentage of what is obligated out of that number, what's the number? 9, 10, 11, 12?
I think we are $8 billion obligated, $6 or $8
billion. Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
Are you going to leave office, God willing, with recovery still a long way to go?
Oh, yeah.
That's just the reality of the recovery?
So we just, Director Octolin Williams, my good friend Adrian, she just sent out $2 billion worth of projects for bid. So the Rebuild USVI, which is we're so excited about, will allow us to have $8 billion in projects obligated, contracted out by next year. And $2 billion is out right now. We're requesting for qualifications on the $2 billion. That's out. It's on usviodr.com. You could go on there and look at it. And that's going to allow us now to kind of narrow down who will be bidding on these projects and get that going. And then we're going to have another one come out maybe in another 60 days or so. And then we're getting the Super PMO project manager contractor in. That's out for bid now too. So it's all going to be done. And then we have to just let people go in. If you drive down to... Arthur Richards, Evelyn Williams, Paradise, you could see now they're coming out to the ground with walls and stuff. They actually have a structure up. The cisterns, a lot of them, they have done already, the drainage, all that stuff. I can't imagine what the kind of mud down there today.
You've been governor since January 2019, and 2 terms will take you to January 2027, and in the college just car, and he was thinking Hasri's vernacular, and I've been using you're there in year 6, right? Which means that at the end of 2024, you've passed the 3-quarter mark, and now you're there in the final quarter. What took so long for that road issue and that waste management issue in Christiansted?
What do you mean to be that project is ahead of schedule?
No. Why? Because that problem was identified a long time ago. Was there an administrative problem issue? That was money alone. I'm talking about, because remember that started in 2023 in year 5 of your 8 years.
You know,
you could speak to that. I can't. So I just ask him based on the chronology.
First of all, there's a couple of projects. It wasn't one single project, but you know, people, you could ask him yourself, ask Kaz Shan and ask him. We actually held that project for over a year, waiting for him to get bonding in order to do the project.
So there was a private sector issue there as well.
Right. So, and at the same time, to his credit, I mean, Carl Spade of Spade, Waste Management owed him a ton of money, which they still are in flux about how much who owes. That was a lot of stuff created during the initial response to the hurricane and whatnot. So we felt a little obligation to kind of give him
time
to get the his funding together. But his project is
Ron Phillips was here. It looks like the infrastructure approach back in the day caused some issue as well, because they go dig up sidewalk and them kind of thing.
Yeah.
You heard? He say that here. Are you aware of that?
I am aware. You know, when they told me about this project, they didn't tell me they were going to dig up King Street. I didn't know they were going to dig up here in Richmond. So, you know, they had a Christian Set Tong project. It was like, and it was going to be the laterals, not the main roads.
Because the businesses they make a good, you just reference the percentage of our revenues based on the amount of taxpayers,
right?
Or the taxpayers, the volume that taxpayers pay. Same thing with businesses. They make a lot of their revenue between November and April. And their biggest concern was why you were doing this during the Christmas.
You know, the thing is it's got to get done. And, I wouldn't choose to do it during that period if I had my way ultimately. But I'll tell you, I definitely consult with the businesses. I want to make sure I make this point, though.
Mm-hmm.
Main Street was dug up for 8 years. 8 years. Gallows Bay, no bones. My boy Chuck and everybody down there, we dig up the Gallows Bay, too. Then you know how many they suffer. But how many times have those same businesses, and prisoners, Christians, that call me about the clogged sewer and the sewage running in the street? So, even though you got to break some eggs to make some mayonnaise.
I sent this question, and you actually went there before I get to ask. Right? Good morning. You got a big man on. That's what it says here. I never read him. We have to touch on the construction bonding system, which you just happened to mention there by chance, right? These extremely high thresholds act as a gatekeeper to the local contractors, which has hurt our overall financial health as a community. This is some beautiful English, by the way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
These high bonding thresholds have not ensured quality. In fact, the large outside companies have cut corners and caused the overrun to the extreme.
Well, I don't know about that. And this is why we're changing the way that we bid things out, too, because we know that, like, right now, right, just in education alone, we have $840 million of projects running.
That announcement yesterday or the day before, FEMA, some 300 That's plus million?
No, we didn't even talk about that. We're talking about actual contracts in operation.
Ongoing right now.
That's more than the entire bonding capacity of the Virgin Islands put together. So, what I do, the biggest problem with contractors, because they pass all that cost on to the government anyway, is most of them don't have their books together. The other thing is, y'all killing the people at the Virgin Islands with them prices. I don't care what you say. There's no way residential should be $300 a square foot in the Virgin Islands. It's too much stuff to build. And there's no way. We went out to build the dock, the boat ramp.
Your security just came there like I'm supposed to be intimidated by him.
No.
He has his suit on.
He's like, he got to go. Rosemary probably sent him. That job, our in-house estimate was $750,000 to put a boat ramp, just to roll the boat in the water.
Come on, man.
It come back at $4 million.
Come on,
that's
man.
What the bid is. Come on, man. It's like people trying to build homes, they can't build homes. So what's happening, and I realize
that's a personal thing for you, having worked in housing and all that stuff.
We got some good news coming on that, too.
Yeah.
But you it's not like before.
Yeah.
You're not going to build one house. We got 300 houses to build. So your margins could be a little less. We fixed the funding problem now. We have
we ready to construct?
Yeah, we have $100 million for line of credit,
okay.
So we could pay people right out. We're trying our best to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if your payment delayed, we could get your money out. We got some things coming down the pipe to make sure the bid for this week, Housing Finance Authority Friday, they're supposed to send out the bid. And I told them, I said, you send out a bid, and I'll tell you, if you could build a house in the Virgin Islands, 1,500 square feet for less than $450,000, we'll buy everyone from you. Every single one. We'll buy them.
The government has had the ability to buy homes for like 4 or 5 years now.
Let me
get
the money. You know, people come and talk to me about building. I said, build a house.
So why is construction such a problem? Why are they, I mean, this $300 a square foot thing.
In St. Thomas, I got a proposal to build a 1,200 square foot house. Affordable housing.
Yeah.
$800,000.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, like, who? I went to Barbados and I saw prefab. Mm-hmm. You know the whole Paradise, Mount Pleasant, behind there, Abamar Homes.
Yeah, yeah.
All of that is prefab. Yeah. It's precast concrete. We could do something.
And holding up relatively well, if not excellent.
I went down and interviewed the people myself because it's been 30 years, them homes, 90, it's been about 30 years. Yeah, yeah. And those homes went through a couple hurricanes. So I went to Barbados and I see how we could get poor people homes because it really troubled me. St. Thomas,
I wanted to break that down. I don't want people to think you're insulting them when you said poor people. Because I remember now, Herbert Hoover made that statement 90 years ago and they kill you, effective poor house, when in fact it was like a backhand compliment.
Break
that one down.
But I just want to
make affordable housing.
Really affordable housing, yeah. Because, you know, I see a way we could get somebody a house for $325,000. And, you know, And that's only because the government will buy down the price of $100,000 on your home. So you could gain a home.
So the mortgage is for $225,000.
Absolutely. Something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I old school. I just say I turn it into my grandmother when she says I used to buy bread for a penny. I can't imagine
the bread were excellent back then.
Yeah, yeah. How people.
Bakery bread back in the
day. Even, like, let me say, a two parent family, two household. Two adults and two children in the Virgin Islands paying a mortgage of $400,000 or $300,000 with an average household income of $56,000, $52,000.
Let me touch on the GRS. Where are we right now? I know you did that stopgap and you put a structure, a policy in place. How the GRS as it relates to solvency?
I think, you know, we okay. It's not a today problem, but every day the problem grows bigger. Because of interest and time value of money. So if we don't have, because of the rum cover over is short, the money's not in there. So it's not gaining interest on our behalf. When we get the money from Treasury, we're not going to get interest on that money.
Congress just passed this Ukrainian $60 billion
that
package.
That thing irritated me.
Right. Well, no.
I'm trying to be nice.
I'm anti-Russia.
Wasn't it $95 billion?
So anything to undermine Putin, I go with it. But I wanted to know, if they could do that, why they can't make longer, if not permanent, our rum cover over at 1325 out of the 1350.
You know, because tax is a touchy subject. Any kind of tax, anytime you have any tax negotiations, it's the Republicans and the Democrats go to war. And I can tell you, you know.
But that's peanuts. That $200 million, $240 million, whatever the number is, in the grand scheme as it relates to the American economy and American budget, peanuts. That should be a non-issue for them.
But you know what I think we should do?
In particular when they owe us billions for gasoline excise taxes.
It is peanuts for them. Yeah. But we're not the only gas. We're not only the tax extender included. There are a lot of other tax extenders.
Well, I actually want for us and Guam and American Samoa and CNMI and the insular positions to start taking an even stronger collective
stance. This is a position that we should get. I had a conversation last night with a refinery. We should get our petroleum covered over. Reading the code again. Remember, you should read the code.
They owe us, man.
The code says
we win that case, man.
That all taxes imposed on Virgin Islands residents by the United States shall be turned back over to the Virgin Islands. And we pay taxes on all our oil exports. The refinery pays excise tax when those oil exports go into the United States. If we could get that, right, we could do something.
The law says we have it, man.
The law says they
keep using this ambiguity argument. That's garbage.
But before,
the federal judge in 1978 said, that's not what Congress meant, and y'all know it.
Yeah,
Oliver Gash, tell them that. Yeah. And then Blumenthal versus the Virgin Islands undermined that with the ruling
but
in 1981.
Then.
Billions, 46 years.
Then.
And the environmental impact alone is the reason why they should pay us that money.
Then, there was somebody who was going to lose that money. Now, there isn't. So imagine if we would be able to get that guaranteed, you're going to like this spot. We could do another Diageo deal. We could actually finance the reopening of the refinery using the oil cover of money that is due back to the Virgin. I give you that one. I put you on your head to smoke.
Well, I got to go do my research now.
You're thinking about it now.
I got the hat on. You know what I'm saying? I wear the hat for a reason. I got this going on in the cranium.
These are the things that I stay up at night thinking about. And the reason why I rewind my Netflix show 800 times, because I don't be listening to 90s. I be reading.
Yo.
But Man, we, you know, I want to say this here. I beat up on the legislature, but there's some legislators that I truly
respect. If they were to call you and say, Governor, we don't want to fight. We want to make this thing work. It don't look good. What would be your response?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is there's nothing else to fight for. I mean, all the shenanigans they're going on with, they don't know. This is a done deal. I don't do what I have to do.
Nomenclature, shenanigans.
Yeah.
had a good day this morning, Governor.
Yeah. So, I already did what I needed to do, but we got to fix WAPA. So I'm going to need their help to do that. You know, I'll say another thing.
We're not with the Band-Aid, though. When
no,
you
no,
say
no.
Fix.
Fix means...
You're not talking Band-Aid,
so,
right?
Five things that need to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got 2.5 minutes. Knock it out.
The government needs to consistently pay the bill on time.
So that's we. That's a we thing.
Yeah. The legislature can help me do that by creating a single payer fund and either funding it for the money, the extra money the hospitals need or waste managers need, putting the money in there to make sure we stay on point. Two, we need to close the VTOL deal, which we're very close to closing.
When you say close, we need to get out.
Yeah, we're $145 million. We pay for the asset, we get it back.
We got favorable news from the federal government. They're looking favorably on that. When do you expect to make an announcement to that end?
I want...
Timeline?
About 60 days.
Okay.
I want to be able to, and I want the Honorable Adrian Todman of the Virgin Islands is the acting secretary of HUD. Let me put that out there for you.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I don't think there's ever been a Virgin Islander
at a cabinet level in the history of the United States of America. Okay, two.
Not
three.
No. Alexander Hamilton, your secretary of Treasury.
Oh, yeah.
Can't forget the boss.
He from Nevis,
too. We educated, yeah, man. Ain't where you're from, where you're at.
Three. We need to fix the Agreco problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to pay up Agreco, get that on. Four, we need to get the solar going and the interconnect study and agreements done and pay for the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And five, we need to assure the bondholders that we're going to pay and restructure the short-term debt of WAPA.
So those five things got to happen as it relates to our energy situation.
And I stated them in my state of emergency.
Okay, good.
So I need the legislature to hold strain. So you can't keep changing the business landscape.
I'm going to ask you to call the Senate President again and say, we need to talk.
But you telling me yesterday, sorry, you know, and then they went and blazed me up the afternoon.
But that I ready to do that. They got something to protect. Hey, quickly, right? Dwayne Henry, my partner, said, remember the guy who spoke of regulating the manufacturing of concrete the way Puerto Rico does?
Absolutely.
And when we had our first on location, John Wood spoke to that. Whereas they got more control in Puerto Rico than we got here. And you just spoke about housing. That's why they asked that question.
So
we're working on that.
So two things.
Can we legislate that fix?
Yeah, we could. I mean, but, you know, the other thing was, you know, the ARPA money. I asked the legislature for recommendations, and I didn't get many. Maurice just wrote me a recommendation to help
Senator Maurice.
Senator Maurice James just helped me. Just wrote me a recommendation to help the people in Williams to like get homes that we're looking at. It doesn't seem too difficult, but we really haven't seen anything else. Well, one of the ideas that I've been tossing around is...
You got 10 seconds in front of me. When are you coming back, man?
As soon as possible. I love coming at you.
There's a press secretary.
What if we have, when this ARPA, we could use the excess money that we have in the VI Slice program, right?
Yeah.
And buy... let's say 10 million cubic yards, or the government of the Virgin Islands, while we're doing this thing, we buy 50,000 cubic yards of concrete.
We got to go. Thank you, Governor. I know Rosary waiting for you.
I'll pay it up first.
Thank you, Governor.
It would lower the price.
Appreciate it.
Love you, man. Love you, Virgin Islanders.
That's what I'm talking about. We'll be back right after this.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX-FM 93.1.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Get the latest news stories that matter from veteran news journalist Tom Ader. Just download the WTJX app or online, WTJX.org. WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here and analyze this. And then I want to thank the governor for making some time to come here. It really was supposed to be from 8:30 to 10. You could ask me engineer them, because we were setting up, you know, all of the, you know, streaming stuff, you know what I mean, for that. So when I tell them, man, you're the governor down by the gate, the man said, we got it now. I said, yeah. So they knocked that out, right? So, because I would have preferred that he come to the, from 8:30 to the end of the show, but he came at 8 because he got running stomach. So we appreciate that, right? A couple of things I want to, you know, you know, qualify and validate, right? You know, remember the governor said that, you know, we never had it this cheap with respect to the costs, right? And remember now, we went through the Great Recession. That's what they labeled it, right? 2008, latter part 2008 into 2009. And as a result, right, and I stayed here given the WAPA, its props. I remember that table talk show where we did the math. Me, Rocky, Dux, Rani, and we were doing the math as it relates to reduction, right, in kilowatt hour and all that. And once the price started going down, right, and I read it earlier while the governor was here, right, WAPA asked for 18% reduction October 1st, 2008. And then they actually sought, right? I speak good English, right? They sought and received a 34% cut 5 weeks later, right? And it went, they say the proposed LEAC, the surcharge which covers the cost of fuel used to produce water and power for water and power customers, right? At the time was 21 cents, right? Right, and 11% or 34% reduction from the 32 cents, right? So now we're in the 40s. So we're still higher than we were then. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the commodity that they use is not manufactured here. And that's, you know, that's unfortunate, because there was a time when the commodity was being manufactured here and we were paying through the wazoo. You know what I'm saying? They took advantage of us. You know, all they saw was, you know, we're going to kill. We know that they need us. So that number two and number six, whatever it was, and WAPA needed it. I know a lot of people get upset with me. I said it back then. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. WAPA belonged to me and you, man. Right? So we need to fix it, make it right, so it could be absolutely affordable, highly efficient, reliable. Because as it stands right now, none of those things happening, man. It's too costly, ain't reliable, and ain't efficient. And ever so often, something coming up. And there's a need for emergency payment, right? Now, don't forget, right? I am biased on behalf of the legislature, right? But that don't mean I got to be disrespectful to the governor because of my bias. I'm admitting that I'm imperfect, that I'm flawed. But I go defend the legislature, and I always will, right? And I know, right, the political dynamic that's in play. The governor ain't got none to lose, man. Nothing. So if the senators take either of these postures seeking the same result, it's understandable. The one posture is, well, I want the public to know that me mining the governor, and I going to defend the people them, even if it mean going after the governor, and that going to play well as relates to their political future and ambitions, be my guest. If you want to take the other posture, which is the governor ain't got none to lose, so I want to walk with this man because I don't want the public to think that I'm being confrontational. And if that is going to get you to the same place, be my guest. Do whatever works for you. That's my suggestion to the senators. However, make sure you're consistent. And when you take this position, you know why you're taking it. Because just saying things for the sake of saying things ain't getting us nothing. When I get a message there, right, from my listener, and it was a lady, I ain't gonna call the name, right? And they say, tired of all this talk about power and money. And still, we look and live like we do. It's embarrassing. Just look around. She is 100% correct. Our recovery monies predated the current administration. That was a February 2018 deal. Right? This is April 2024. 6+ years. Right? We really see the thing with our naked eye, the recovery like we wanted to. But it is what it is. Recoveries last long. Right? And maybe we need to take the Biden approach in this regard. We got to get into more manufacturing here in the Virgin Islands, man. Too dependent on external dynamics. Way too dependent. So then they come to the argument, well, never when you been there. How come you ain't do this? No, I tried. And speaking in this corporate jargon and this visionary approach, don't play well with politics here in the Virgin Islands. We look like we obsessed with crisis management. And certain politicians mastered this game and it worked for them and they were successful and all that stuff. I still don't know how I last that long enough. Because I've always been data-driven and analytical. Don't mind you see me, you know, being a naughty, a scruff, right? I'm a nerdy scruff. Okay? And I like the numbers. That's me. You check? No, you know, some people get vexed at me, but I can't go over there. That's blazing, governor. Yeah, the governor's also my guest, man. Hey, don't hate on your boy, man. Just show me some love. I trying to balance this thing. Serious, I know the frustration. But I'm a talk show host as well. And I got a right to be respectful. We didn't agree on everything. You know what I'm saying? I even had to bring the data here just now to let the governor know. No, Gov, we had some windows. Our problem is when we get these windows to fix the problem, we don't do nothing. And the problem come back again. And that's why I specifically asked the governor when he said we need to fix WAP. I said, governor, me talking no band-aid or no. Talking long term. If we need corrective surgery, do it. You check? So, you know, I'm getting passionate here because, you know, that's how it is. I want the best for the Virgin Islands. I really do. Are you hear me, right? I sung in more Virgin Island than Crucian now, and I know it's 100% Big Island, Santa Cruz, right? But I'm getting up there. And I got to think about the betterment of the territory, which can happen if St. Croix is left out of the fold, or St. Thomas, and especially Love City, St. John, and Water Island. They get love too. You know what I'm saying? So just want to know, right? Governor Binya, and you know, either space out, he visit them, because the governor know when he come, yeah. I ready for re. Now, me even get to talk about the politics from last night. Not even yesterday. We're going to leave out the trial. We got plenty of time to talk about Biden's trial. But that Pennsylvania primary last night, some serious revelations there, and we're going to come to that. But let me do the programming notes for tonight for Channel 12, because we didn't do that at the top of the hour because the governor being here, right? Wednesday, the 24th it is, right? Bam, bam, bam. But we there. Here we go.
PBS NewsHour at 7. I'm going to speak to Yankee Twang now, right? The NewsHour at 7. At 8 p.m., Changing Planet investigate the urgent efforts to help coral reef survive climate change. That's us, right? So tune in tonight for sure, right? At 9, A Brief History of the Future, investigate the human ability to create a better world. That's us again, right? And then that's a brief history of the future. That's from 9 to 10. At 10 p.m., Nova, explore how life evolved in North America, including the arrival of humans. That's us again, right? And then I'm a poor and company from 11 to 12. So I'm just having some fun here because you gotta smile a little bit. NewsHour at 7, Changing Planet at 8. A Brief History of the Future at 9, Nova at 10, and my important company at 11. Okay? So, here we go. See, somebody sent me a text message that just made me feel good. Right? They said, I want to make sure I said this correctly. They said, morning, Mr. James. They need to make your show 2 hours long. Maybe it is 2 hours long. You know what I'm saying? But the governor only had an hour and 40 today. You check? Now, if you said 3 hours, that's a whole different bag, right? But we want that. A morning edition is very, very valuable and near and dear to the NPR listeners. And, you know, we're taking a chunk out of that as well. So check this out, right? The governor was giving props to Joe Biden. You know what I'm saying? And it comes on the heels. Good morning, Alice Crow. Did some nice things this morning, man. Waste management got some nice murals. Keep it clean. Okay. Beauty is free. Wow. They got some nice murals, man. I like to call it graffiti. This is clean graffiti. Got some nice graffiti. So waste management doing their thing. Keep up the good work there in that regard. Right? You're going to see, keep it clean all over the place. Right, hold on, let me see this one, yeah? It said, beauty is free. Hold on there. Your home, let's keep it clean. And this is at Pine Peace Bin site over there in St. Thomas. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Right, so they paint the walls there and keep it clean, and they're promoting cleanliness here for the government and the Virgin Islands, which is a good thing. I like that. Yesterday, right, there was a primary. I'm not doing Henry Lake in this one, yeah? In Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a true swing state, right? That's one of the three states that Donald Trump won in 2016 when he was candidate Trump, that they didn't expect him to win, along with Wisconsin and Michigan. And in 2020, Biden won back those three, along with Georgia and Arizona. So they're looking at those five states, in addition to Nevada and North Carolina. Those are the seven bellwether swing states that they're going to be looking at. Pennsylvania in particular, because that's the most populated of the swing states. Yesterday, they had their primary, right? Here are the results so far, right? As of 8 a.m. this morning. On the Democratic side, so we know that it's going to be Biden versus Trump. So what they look at is two things, right? Are two things, got to speak good English. Turnout. On either side, that's number one, that's the volume. And what percentage of the volume in each primary, the Democratic primary or the Republican primary, is Trump and Biden getting, right? Or got, because it happened yesterday. On the Republican side, there were 942,314 voters. And that number is probably up now because they keep counting votes. Donald Trump got 786,485, which is 83.5%. Nikki Haley, who out of the race, but people got right to protest vote within the party and even the general election, got 155,829 votes, 16.5%, and that makes up the 100,000. So their total turnout on the Republican side was 942. On the Democrat side, the total turnout was 988,320. Right, which is 46,006 more people turned out on the Democratic side. Joe Biden got 920,274 votes, 93.1%, compared to Trump getting 83.5% on the Republican side. And Dean Phillips, who done bow out already, he got 6.9% at 68,046 votes, So Joe Biden got 133,000 more primary votes yesterday and got a higher percentage. So as it relates to just the superficial, right, on the surface, good night. Both had a good night. Biden had a great night. Got 93 out of every 100 people that vote in the Democratic primary in this swing state. That's an enthusiasm variable to look at. Went for Biden, 83 or 84 out of every 100 Republicans that vote. And these are closed primaries, though. These ain't open primaries. So you had to be registered to vote in that particular, registered as a party member to vote in that primary. Additionally, when they look at the four suburban Philly counties, because, you know, they said the suburbs are going to determine, right? The independents and the suburbs are going to determine who's going to win this election. In Bucks County, Trump get 81%, Biden get 95%. In Montgomery County, Trump got 75%, Biden get 96%. In Chester, Trump got 76%, Biden get 97%. And in Delaware County, right, Trump got 76%, and Biden got 96%. Now, keep in mind, this is a home state for Biden because he's born in Scranton, even though, you know, he spends his time he's a resident of Delaware. So he's a homeboy there. But they got to be feeling good. And I believe this is more about infrastructure than anything else. And that money that the Democratic side raising allows them to establish field offices, do more pounding at the pavement, touching the flesh. And the money variable looked like it kicking in, man, because, you know, in Montgomery County, Trump gets 75%, Biden gets 96%. That's a full 20%, man. That's a high number. You check? So it's going to be interesting. And we don't see in the polls, you know, sliding in one direction. So we'll see how it pans out. You know what I'm saying? Okay, Pine Peace is St. John. Right? Oh, the Pine Peace bin site. Is this, that's in St. John? Let me know. Okay, one of my senators, let me know what's going on. Right? And you know something? I'm going to bring on the senators to get their take on this. I owe it to them. Right? It's only right. So, you know, I'm going to probably reach out to the Senate President. I don't know if they got energy committee. But in fairness to them, if I get a governor on, I got to bring on the senators. I have to do it. That's just the rules, right? So we're into 100% fairness, right? So we're going to get a legislative side. It could be a number of them. And we're going to work that out. So maybe sometime on Friday, we'll get them on. Maybe if not tomorrow. Tomorrow, we got no risk to flourish. Maybe in hour number two tomorrow as well and Friday. Okay, you got 15 senators and one governor. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the live stream. Got me rocking my fedora on a rainy Wednesday. Be good and be safe. Talk to you tomorrow. No risk to flourish tomorrow, okay? Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I am forever changed.
On Finding Your Roots, Wes Studi.
I'd say things like, I don't have a dad.
And LeVar Burton.
You grow up just with the blanks.
Trauma on the Trail of Tears.
I know it's got to be painful.
We've lived with that pain for a long time.
And a shocking family discovery.
What?
Yeah.
Kunta!
Kunta.
Got white ancestry. Yeah.
Tune in April 30th at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.